I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Is The Drive with Dale Lally and Matt Williamson on your 24/7 home of the black and gold, SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, we're getting closer to the NFL draft. We're just over a week away. Some news and notes trickling in from around the league. And first thing I wanted to touch on today was the report from Ian Rappaport that Alejandro Villanueva is going to visit with the Ravens at some point this week. They're not going to sign him this week.
I would imagine not.
Well, here's why. The comp pick formula ends on the 27th.
Right. He's not going to sign for peanuts.
They're not going to sign him before that and then hurt their comp pick formula, also helping the Steelers' comp pick formula.
Right. It's a double whammy for them. And it makes perfect sense. I found it odd, though. Like, I would imagine he's the best available tackle right now.
Healthy one, yeah.
Yeah. And I think Orlando Brown has a legit chance to get traded.
Yeah.
But
Russell Okung is out there as well. But
yeah. And say I'm not sure how healthy he is. The more you say that, but
just Fisher and guys of that. Yeah,
good point. But is Al a right tackle?
He could play right tackle.
Or
you could play left tackle, and maybe they're thinking about trading Orlando Brown during the draft.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, Orlando wants to play left. Stanley's a left. Al's a left.
Somebody hops. They may want to open up their. Hey, if we want to check, kick the tires on Villanueva. How healthy is he? Mm-hmm. What can he do? We've played against him for years. We know what he is.
Yeah, right. They have a great feel for him.
If we get to a point in the draft and somebody says, hey, we'll give you a second-round pick for Orlando Brown.
I think that's very possible.
Because we don't like what's available now for us in the tackle market. Okay. You know, they'll do it and then sign Villanueva after the draft.
But then Alice play right.
Potentially.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, the problem here is.
Maybe you meet with them today and say, what do you think about playing right tackle?
They don't know. Stanley's had multiple surgeries on that leg, too. So.
I mean, if you sign Al and you're the Ravens and you traded Orlando, you still draft one. It might be Spencer Brown. I mean, it might be a project guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it goes to the point of if you're meeting with them right now, I think you have to broach the subject of are you comfortable playing right tackle? And he may or may not.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the need right now. But you're right. Stanley's hard to count on, too, to play 16 games at this point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In fact, I the stuff that I saw is he might be ready for the start of the season. Well, that doesn't sound promising.
Right, you're right. Or even if you don't want to draft a tackle. You know, if they're looking at, like, boy, we need edge and receiver. We're not going to trade Orlando.
We'd like to take tackle off our board here, but
and
we need
six offensive line sets at times, and you know, Al would be our opening day starter because it's not looking good for Stanley, maybe.
Yeah, and I think the Steelers are in that same kind of situation right now where
a lot of teams are. The more
they're waiting to see what they do in the draft, and then they'll make a move on a tackle. You're going to see that a lot. I mean, I give them that
a lot of tackles.
That tackle market, the veteran tackle market, was not picked over nearly as much as some of the other markets.
I mean, and usually they get overpaid.
And absolutely.
Most years, Al would have been signed somewhere for probably more than he's worth at this point, you know, because it is a really good tackle class, but there's always needs there. I mean, if we went through all 32 teams, I bet we'd come up with 20 that could use a tackle, including Pittsburgh, including Baltimore, that as good as this tackle class is, only a dozen or 15 of those are going to get somebody that they're interested in. And then you get him in the mini camp and camps and realize, this guy's really...
He's raw. He's going to need time.
He's going to need a lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, the Fishers and Okungs and Owls of the world will all be employed if they want to be.
They'll get scooped up at some point here. I
wonder if the Steelers are on the market for any of those.
Potentially.
I mean, they might be in the same boat.
They've already signed Joe Haig, who's kind of fits into that role. he's a younger
version
than
maybe
some of those guys, and
he's
got more health in his background.
And I would say he's a better athlete at this point too, and you know,
yeah,
and less accomplished.
Let's look at this real quick here, and how deep this tackle class is. I was asked today, what is this a deep draft overall, or is it? And I said I thought it was just because of the position depth at some key positions: cornerback, tackle, linebacker, wide receiver.
We previewed the edge guys today on my podcast, and I thought, and when you really look at a list, and you. I thought it was deeper than I had given it credit for, you know, just focusing on one position.
I think this draft goes five rounds or so deep in guys that could come in and help.
Yeah.
4 to 5 rounds, which is typically a pretty deep draft.
I don't know if this is what you plan on doing or not, but let's just spend 2 minutes and talk about each position, if it's deep or not.
Okay, I'm looking here at the tackles. I got Sewell, Slater, Darrisaw, Jenkins. Leatherwood could be a tackle or a guard.
I think he's a tackle when it's all said and done.
Yeah. He's got long enough arms. And,
yeah. He's a little inconsistent.
You're looking at Stone Forsythe. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some guys here that have emerged that we weren't talking about a month and a half ago.
No, without question.
Eichenberg, Sam Cosmi, Dylan Radin, Spencer Brown, Jalen Moore, Walker Little, Brady Christensen, Josh Ball, Jalen Mayfield. You're talking like 14 deep there.
Yeah, I was going to say, those are all good enough
James
players.
Hudson, Deonte Smith. I mean, now you're getting into 16, 17.
And you didn't mention, like, Jackson Carmen, or, you know, some of the guys that are probably guards. Like, that whole list, I think pretty much all those guys are tackles.
Yeah. In a normal year, a guy like, you know.
Spencer Brown could be a second-round pick some years.
Yeah. Samuel Cosmi is probably a first-round pick in a lot of drafts.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, Eric Fisher went number one overall.
He went first overall. Yeah, I bet there's five or six in the first round still.
And there's still that depth there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys who are going to go in the third round go in the second round in previous years. Guys in the second round were first round picks.
I don't think you mentioned Walker Little even.
Yeah,
I mean,
Walker Little's
a strange one. You know, right.
So there's some good depth there. Same thing, I think, you know, the offensive line overall, the interior guys are, you know, there's some depth there.
I mean, the kid at the center at Stanford could be a starter on the right team.
Yeah.
You know, and he's the fifth center off the board. You know, usually I think there's two or three starting centers. I think there's five or six this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I think
and another maybe three or four guys who are starters down the road.
I don't know if you get to 10.
Maybe not. Well, not. You know I mean? Said maybe guys
maybe.
Who
right,
may
right.
maybe turn into a. Hey,
I'm
we
thinking
got,
like a Green in a year is probably a starter.
Or but you look at let's say you know a lot of people have talked about the kid from Penn State, Michael Monet.
He could go.
You know, again, I'm just looking at pure centers here. You got Dickerson, Miners, Humphrey, Myers.
Yeah. I think they all project as starters. Yeah. I think Green if he's a center or guard.
Dahlman if he lands in the right spot.
Yeah, if he's a Niner or a Ram or right.
Green, you know, people talk, Drake Jackson's a little undersized, but.
I think he's a backup.
He's probably a backup. Trey Hill is a guy that, you know, these guys, Jimmy Morrissey from Pitt, I mean, he had some traits.
But there's six or seven probable starters within a year or two, which is rare.
And then you add the guards into it where you have, again, Kendrick Green or who else were we looking at there? Jack Anderson from Texas Tech is another one.
Probably day three guy, but he's probably a starter in this league when it's all said and done.
So there's some depth at that position.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. Overall, I think it's a very deep line class and works out really well for the Steelers, more so at tackle and center than guard, but the guard group's pretty good.
Yeah, you could. I mean, some of those tackles will move to guard.
And some of those tackles, and especially guards, will move to center.
Yeah.
And some of the Notre Dame dudes, or, you know, there's a couple options there.
But I think there's depth there. There's depth at linebacker.
I think there's a ton of depth at off-the-ball linebacker. Yeah.
I mean, it's easier in this draft, I think, to name the spots where it's not deep. Defensive tackle.
D-tackle. Tight end.
Tight end is not deep.
Running back.
Running back is not deep.
I don't know if quarterback is or not. I think that's a weird conversation.
I don't even include the quarterbacks in that conversation because they're going to be five taken, maybe even six taken in the first round. That doesn't mean that's where they all belong.
I'm hearing more and more that Mond, Trask, and Mills won't get out of the second round.
Yeah.
You know, which that's pretty crazy. If eight go in the first two rounds, some of those will be pushed up. I mean, I'm not sure they all deserve it.
Yeah. I don't know that safety is super deep.
I wouldn't say so. But there's a lot of corners.
But there'll be corners that will move to safety.
Yeah,
so,
there'll be some conversions there. But there are a lot of corners, all shapes and sizes.
The wide receiver class is a kind of a strange one.
I think it's deep, though.
The three guys at the top are star, you know,
potential
top 10 picks, and then there's going to be a gap probably before.
That was sort of similar last year, though, with Ruggs, Judy, and Lamb.
But then we saw 11 of them taken in the first 50 picks.
You know? So, which I still think is possible. I think there'll be a lot of day two receivers.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there'll be a lot of first round receivers. But there's a lot of smaller receivers, though. There's not as many
those
Claypool
big
types.
Yeah, you know, big guys that can run.
The prototypical type.
So I think overall, I think it's a pretty deep draft.
I do, too. And we're hard on the running backs outside the top three. But I've kind
of a couple of those guys will hit.
Yeah, Herbert or, you know, so a couple of
doesn't
those
mean
guys.
They'll be stars.
They'll be stars, but I bet they're on your fantasy team and you're starting them one day. You know what I mean? A couple of those type of
But that's not what the Steelers are looking for. That's been our point all along with that. Look at their roster.
Right.
They don't have a starting running back.
I mean, 2 years ago, they'd have been in the market for those type of guys. But this year, I think they need a starter.
Now you need a guy. You don't have James Conner here anymore as your bell cow. You need a bell cow.
You have all the
you
other
can't,
stuff.
You can't go in and hope that you get a bell cow in the fourth or fifth round.
No.
That's not good business.
Agree. But most teams with running back, quote, needs, they'll get somebody that's adequate. It's not a great running back.
If you've already, for example, well, just look at the Cardinals, for example.
Yeah,
okay, they already had Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they could live with him as a starter if they had to.
And I think they're planning on it. I think he'll lead the team in carries.
And then they had Connor to the equation. Mm-hmm. Well, so now they got two guys who, if they had to start a game with them, they're fine.
Yeah, and if Connor's hurt, they can live with it.
Yeah.
And they'll probably draft one in the fifth round now or something like that. And
just
that guy might play.
And maybe he hits, maybe he doesn't, but
you don't need to.
You don't need him to.
You don't need him to. But he might, in week 10, be their bell cow.
Right, or next year be their guy.
Right. You know, there's a lot of teams
you
like
can
that.
You can take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers can't take that chance.
They can't take that chance. I mean, they need a guy that they can hand the ball to a lot early and not put the offense on his shoulders. That's asking a lot, but be a foundational player of the offense.
Yeah. And
I think there's three of them.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, how many other teams are in that position right now that they need to get a starting running back? Atlanta, maybe?
I'd say Atlanta and the Jets. P. Ryan right now is number one in the Jets. If you're going to break in Mac Wilson, boy, it'd be nice to give him one of those three backs. You know what I mean? I don't think Miami is, but wouldn't kill him.
Wouldn't kill them just because.
Right.
Because they don't care who they run out there.
Mm-mm.
They've got a stable.
The thing about
kind of same thing with San Francisco.
Kind of. But, boy, they trade up a lot of assets. Can they be taking a running back high when you don't have any first-round picks the next couple of years? You know what I mean? And that, I'm sure Shanahan thinks he can get Chuba Hubbard.
Right.
Yeah.
Turn him into something.
Yeah. I mean, he has a lot of Mostert-like traits. Get him in the fourth round, something like that.
Yeah, you see some Tevin Coleman comparisons.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's fast, and he's aggressive, but he's kind of straight-line-ish. But the thing is, which of those teams can afford to use an early pick on the big three? Like, I don't know that Atlanta can. They're not going to take him at four.
Right.
If they
trade down to 10, that's still too high.
Well, if they trade down to 10 and pick up other seconds and thirds and stuff, then maybe their early second is a running back.
But not in the first round.
Not in the first round.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they loved Harris and they moved to Washington's pick, that could be a Harris spot. Or if they moved to New England's pick, maybe that's a Harris spot. But my other point with them, too, is if they stick, they're going to take an offensive player. Can they take two offensive players with their first two picks, considering how bad their defense is?
Right.
I don't think.
But they need a starting running back.
They need a starting running back,
yeah.
Right. So unless – if you want the Steelers to land one of the big three, I think you want Atlanta to pick at four.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't guarantee it.
I'm not sold that that's going to happen, but I also don't know that Atlanta moves down far enough
that they get off the offensive guy anyway.
Because I don't think – I mean, for somebody to move up to four from somewhere in the teens, it's going to be super expensive.
Right. I mean, New England to go from 15 to four
– is giving up three first-round draft picks?
Yeah, I would think.
And that would be completely – Belichick has never taken a quarterback in the first round.
Right.
Ever.
I mean, he lucked into – he probably would have if he didn't have Brady for a million years. But they've drafted a lot of them, but not that high.
Yeah, the highest one was Garoppolo in the second round.
If Atlanta would get the – I mean, Washington stands out to me. Like, what do they pick, 20, 21, something like that?
And they would have to give up a bevy of picks.
Right.
And I don't know that they – see, I don't know that they're going to be in the market to move up to four.
I don't know if Atlanta's in the market to move
– to 20.
All the way to four to 15 or 20.
Moving from 4 to 20 is a
Julio Jones.
You were bad last year.
Right.
And so you earned the fourth pick in the draft, and now all of a sudden you're going to slide back, and you're built.
Chase Young might have to be involved in that.
Yeah, your quarterback's 36. You're built to win now.
Right.
And Julio Jones is in his 30s. These guys are built to win now.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, so that's.
So I want all these future picks.
Yeah. I was reading something about that.
I might just take Kyle Pitts and live with it, you know.
I was actually reading something about that yesterday, that the owner, Arthur Blank, is saying, hey, look, we're at four. If there's a quarterback there that we like, we're not in this position every. It's kind of like the you know the situation with the Steelers in 2004 or 2004, where you're not in that position all the time to get that quarterback. You got to take the quarterback.
I think there's a very strong case for that, and they're both. They're. I mean,
if you feel like you're gonna, you feel like you're gonna be in the 20s from here on out, you know, and
everybody thinks they are,
right?
You know, but that's a solid organization.
But they look at. We've talked about this before. When you look at that division. Well, okay, Breeze just retired.
Brady's not there forever.
Brady's not going to be around forever. Carolina's rebuilding.
Right. Is Darnold going to take over the division? Probably not. Is Winston going to take over the division? I mean, I think the Steelers are a better organization. But if the Steelers are picking four right now, they'd be taking quarterback.
They'd be taking a quarterback.
Yeah, it'd be Lance or it'd be Fields. Or, you know, and you'd be glad to do it, even if you think Ben had a year or two. But the way Atlanta restructured Ryan made it sound like he's going to be our starter for 2 years. It'd be really hard to get out of the Ryan contract.
It would be, yeah, but...
But teams do it all the time. No, I mean, it's not like teams don't do these things. I don't know. They're a really interesting team to me.
Yeah, it also doesn't mean that Ryan doesn't retire after...
Could.
You know, this season. I mean, he's an old 36.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he looks his age. They have a potential out after the 2022 season with him.
So it looks like he's a 2 year start.
Yeah, so you get this year out of him. If you cut
he's definitely gonna start this year.
If you cut him after this season, he's $40 million in dead cap space. Well, as we saw with the Steelers,
I mean you can finagle again.
Restructuring Roethlisberger, you can make that work.
Yeah. And they really had to make that Ryan move just to get they were in worse shape than the Steelers.
Yeah.
Just to get cap compliant.
And next year the cap goes up and maybe you say, okay, we got a good young roster here, the new quarterback that we just took in the fourth overall. We're ready to move on.
I think there's a real – I mean, I honestly think it's like a 50% chance they stick and pick, but the teams that would have to come up would probably be Denver. Like, to go all
from
the way
nine,
back
yeah.
to
– And again, to get back to our original concept here, nine's too high to take a running back.
They're not taking a running back, though, right? Yeah. Right. I mean, they might take Waddle
and they might get Denver's second-round pick.
Or next year's first or
– Well, I'm sure they're going to – I'm sure there's going to be next year's first involved, but they may also get Denver's two.
Yeah. Then you worry about them taking.
Then you worry about them jumping up ahead of you, you know, because then they'll have two early second round picks that somebody may say, "All right, I'll take both those second round picks and give you 20."
But if I were them, I mean, I would just take a back with one of those early second round picks. You know, Steelers take Harris maybe, and you end up with Williams, and you're fine.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if they love Harris,
because they're going to have the fourth. They're going to pick 36.
Yeah, I'd say that early second.
Yeah.
Now could easily be a back. Because you've got so many other things, you can address the defense with your other picks.
Yeah,
I mean they're the key to the draft right now.
Yeah,
I mean, we know three quarterbacks are going to go. If they stick and pick, I would still consider taking Kyle Pitts and try to win now. I'm not sure that's the smartest move.
Yeah,
you know? I mean quarterbacks are hard to pass up.
If you're not a team that typically drafts in the top 10 or in you're not typically in a position to make that pick.
Yeah,
and you have a friend like a clear-cut franchise quarterback looking you in the face.
Justin Fields is sitting there.
Do you take him?
I tend to agree, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's different if you're Miami, Philly, the Jets. I mean, you have multiple picks next year already.
Right.
You know, you got a lot of assets next year that, okay, we'll hang with Tua. You know, we'll hang with Hurts for this year. And Philly might have three first-round picks next year. If Wentz works out, they get three first-round picks next year. So build a nest and see if you have something that hurts. He's cheap, and then you move up next year, where Atlanta doesn't have that working for him.
No, they don't. And, again, their quarterback is 36. You know, and, again, wasn't the most mobile guy to begin with.
You could maybe even trade him a year from now.
There's that, too. I mean, you know.
He has a great year, good offense. Trey Lance is sitting on the bench. Ben retires, the Steelers say we'll give you a third round pick for him, pay him $30 million for 1 year, and
there's his thing.
Some teams like that.
His base salary in 2022 is $16.25 million.
Yeah, that's not bad.
He's got a $7.5 million roster bonus in there, but again, you're still talking about $23 million for a starting quarterback
with a cap that goes up 20% by then, or 10% or whatever.
And even the next year is in 2023, it's $20.5 million with a $7.5 million roster bonus.
Yeah, if I'm Atlanta, it would take a lot for me to give up that pick.
Yeah,
I mean, I would consider going to eight. You still might get a quarterback,
You still might get the fifth best quarterback.
Yeah, you might get Mac Jones. Or if he's still out there. But, yeah, Atlanta could end up with a back in the end. Yeah. If they move out of four.
But I don't see them taking one before the Steelers pick.
No.
Like, I keep getting questions about, well, what happens if both Harris and ATN go before the Steelers pick? Do you just take Williams? I don't know that that's – I can't wrap my mind around that, because it's just – I don't think it's going to happen.
Could the Jets –
because they're not going to go in – they're not going top 10.
They're not going top 10.
I don't think they go top 15.
I don't either.
I mean, so you're going to tell me that two running backs are going to be taken between pick 16 and 24?
So I think the Jets and Miami's second pick are your landmines.
Yeah.
And the Jets are going
to
have –
they're not both going to take running backs.
No.
Because they both got high seconds.
They can get – after the Steelers take Harris or whatever. They'll still probably end up with ATN or Williams or whatever. And they have a lot more needs.
Right.
Like, the Jets need O-line. They need edge pass rush. I mean, expensive things, corners. Miami, I think, has a really good chance. They'll probably end up getting the skill guy who's left. If they take Penei Sewell, they'll probably take a receiver with their second first-round pick. If it's the other way around, they end up taking Tevin Jenkins with their second-round pick.
Right.
So you never know. But, I mean, one of those teams could love Harris without question, and that would make sense for a young quarterback. I'm sure they'd be – but I don't think two go off the board before 24.
Yeah, I have a hard time believing that two go. I think there may be one gone, and okay. But right now,
Vegas odds are 0.5 running backs go in the first round.
I'd go over that.
I would go over that, too. Yeah. But that just shows you – I mean,
it's based on recent history, and
And the Steelers are probably the one that Vegas is worried about, or you know, thinking is the one. You know, so that tells you a lot. I think they'll have their choice of running backs. If not, one will be gone.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. They have to trade down. They can't take the running back at 24. They have to trade down. Well, that's all well
and good. Ideal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's good in theory.
Sure.
But when you get to the 24th pick and nobody's on the phone calling you, you know.
You got to prepare a pick.
Yeah. Now you got to be ready to make your pick, because otherwise, are you calling people up on the – you're not going to get as much if you're if you're the one making the phone calls.
No.
People know you're hot to get out of that spot.
And calls happen before the draft, right, too. I mean, maybe Tampa calls the Steelers the night before the draft saying, you look like a team that could trade back. Would you be interested? Sure. And you get the deal worked out.
But
we'll give you 32 and 64 if our guy's available.
Right.
And then he goes to the pick before, and then that call doesn't happen. And
you get to that pick 24, and let's say, one of the running backs is gone.
And then you're not interested.
Well, no, I'm not interested in moving back.
Right. No, I think that's very possible. The other thing, which I think would be extreme, but I got a lot of word today that Landon Dickerson's medicals were really good on the recheck. And that's third-hand information.
Like, right.
Landon didn't call me up, trust
me. I'm sure his agent is calling people saying, hey, Landon's checked out fine.
Right. I mean, I heard Lance Erline talking about it.
It was the same thing with the cornerback.
With Farley. You're not going to hear the opposite.
That's not coming from teams. That's coming from the agents. Oh, he's good.
But I've heard every step of the way, sort of like Farley, if Dickerson's a go medically, he could be a first-round pick. And he could be the Steelers' first-round pick, in my opinion.
Right.
I mean, I think that's a very easy landing spot. And if he's right, I'd have no problem with it.
Right.
It screws you up for the running back.
But his medical history is a book.
Oh, man. Yeah, right. At two different schools, and right.
Yeah.
He'd be a great addition if you could tell me he's no worse medically than anyone else in this draft. But, boy, that's tough. You know, you look at him, and even like Jalen Phillips. I mentioned we did that edge conversation today. Phillips is my number one edge, and I think you agree that he's, I like him more than Pay. I like him more than Owe. But if your job's on the line and you're picking those two, is he that much better than Pay or
that
Russo
you can afford to make that call? Like, no, those three concussions he had are fine.
Right. This guy retired. You know what I mean? I mean, he, like, I'm done playing football. that's risky. I mean, tiebreakers aren't going to go his way or Dickerson's way.
Right. It goes back to, I mean, you know, when we talked to Kevin Colbert a while back, actually it was last year when we were talking to him pre-opt-outs.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, if it comes down to a tie or if it's close between a guy who played and a guy who opted out, we're going to take the guy who played. Because we have more information on him.
Yeah. Like, that's really got to hurt Walker Little. Like, we just named, what'd you name, 14 or 15 tackles? And he's as talented as just about any of them.
He just hasn't played football two years.
I mean, he's going to lose a lot of tiebreakers.
Yeah, when we had Lance's airline on, he's like, I'm going back and looking at half of a 2019 game right. and then 2018 tape on right. this guy.
And a pro day that was good.
You know, he was 19 years old then.
Yeah. What's he like now? Yeah, what's he learned? I mean, he hasn't blocked anybody in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, why wasn't he at the Senior Bowl?
That's a bad mistake.
Yeah, you got to be there. But, yeah, there's a lot of them this year. And there'll be misses, and I've said this many times, we'll look back on this draft and last year, the whole COVID era, and I'm sure if we just focus on the scouting world during the COVID era, we'll be like, wow, what were teams thinking? And, like, you have to remember how the mindset was, because there's going to be a couple dudes in the fourth and fifth round. Then in a normal year, maybe we're second or first.
Yeah.
You know, just if you knew more.
And likewise, there may be some guys overdrafted exactly. because, well, we have more information on this guy than we had on those two guys.
Right.
We're going to take this guy instead. And those two guys both were better, end up being better players.
And that pick will happen at 36 overall. We'll be like, oh, that makes sense. It's pretty safe. I mean, not a super upside guy. And he's a lifetime backup or out of the league in 3 years because he wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the Jarvis Jones type. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of know what he has. But, yeah, it'll be interesting, though.
Yeah, I can't wait. And as we get closer here, it's almost like the 12 days of Christmas now.
I know.
You know?
And what's problematic for us is there's not a lot of news between now and then because this is when the teams are really hunkered down.
And the only news that comes out now is typically
this is don't believe it season.
Yeah.
I mean, like, again, that Dickerson news, that might not be true. You know, you hear third-hand information that it went well. But you're never going to hear, boy, his medicals are a disaster.
Yeah.
Because the people releasing it
have a reason to do it unless it's a team putting that info out there and saying, we got to try to get him at 37 or something like that. We're going to see if we can put this information out there. But teams know.
Teams know, right. Teams are busy. They're locking down, building boards right now.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing that's funny, too, is because we've read 50 million mocks, we assume all these teams' boards have been set for months. They're just getting set now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
they've got all the information, and now they got to put the book together.
I mean, there's a chance the Steelers don't like Najee Harris at all. Yeah, I mean, I'm just throwing it because they're close to the team, you know, or because we're close to the team. But they're building their boards now. And the coaches just got involved recently.
Yep. So, anyways, that's going to do it for this segment of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. I want to thank my partner, Matt Williamson, for all the good info there. I want to also thank Jacob Reck for keeping us on the air. I also want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Tune to The Drive on your 24/7 home of the Black and Gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, Alex Smith officially retired today. I was listening to a show on The Drive in, I can't remember if it was a national show or what it was, but they were talking about the 2005 quarterback draft.
Okay. That was the year I was in the war room with the Brownies.
And they said, well, that draft was a disappointment. That draft wasn't.
I don't know about that.
And they started ticking off some names in there. I'm like, that's not a bad quarterback draft.
Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great.
Alex Smith just retired. He lasted 15 years in the NFL.
Right. I mean, as first overall picks go, he was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't a disappointment or a terrible pick or, you know, he was a bust. He's not Jamarcus Russell.
Right. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Jason Campbell with the 25th pick.
I mean, that's not great, but he played.
Charlie Fry, then you had in the third round. Then you had Andrew Walter in the third round.
The Raiders.
Yeah. Then you had David Green in the third round to the Seahawks. Okay. Kyle Orton in the fourth round, however.
That's not so bad.
That's a hit.
That's a hit for
a fourth round quarterback. Yeah.
Right.
Played for a long time. Stephon LaFours went in the fourth round to the Panthers.
I remember that one. I forgot that one.
Dan Orlovsky in the fifth round to the Lions.
This is how quarterback picks go. Yeah. They don't usually come in and star.
There are some better picks here at the end of this, though. Adrian McPherson in the fifth round was not one of them.
He went to the Saints. He was an athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Derek Anderson in the sixth round to the Ravens.
Yeah, right, right.
Went to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah. He won some games. I mean, if every sixth round quarterback worked out like him,
All work out like Tom Brady.
No, none do.
Yeah. Then it was James Killen in the seventh round to the Chiefs. Matt Cassel in the seventh round to the Patriots.
He had a good
career.
That's
a hit.
I mean, he lasted 10-some years, right.
And then the last quarterback taken that year was Ryan Fitzpatrick in the seventh round.
He
was the 250th pick in the draft. That's a good quarterback draft.
He was the third best quarterback in the class.
You got five or six guys there who started.
One of the best ever.
Yeah.
Right.
Who started several years in the league. That's a good quarterback draft.
I'd say that's a usual one. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, there's nothing usual about Aaron Rodgers, don't get me wrong. But in terms of quality of what you get out of the class in general, that's a pretty average class, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean it doesn't compare. If you're going to compare it to 2004,
right.
No, it's not a good quarterback draft class. But let's compare it to 2006,
okay.
The year after this. This is a bad quarterback draft. Vince Young goes third overall.
Ooh. Boy, he came out 10 years too early. Poor guy.
Yeah. Matt Leinart goes 10th.
Ouch.
Jay Cutler, 11th.
And those three, I mean, Cutler's another one that's, I mean, he had a better career than Campbell. Yeah. You know, Cutler would be third on that list
right.
from last, you know, the year before. He was okay. He's just kind of unlikable.
Kellen Clemens in the second round.
Yeah.
Not good.
I think we talked about this last week. That the picks, when you pick from 15 to 75, you do not have a high hit rate.
It's not a big hit rate, no. That's what makes that draft in 2005, where you get in the seventh or sixth round on Anderson, Cassel, Fitzpatrick.
That's pretty nice.
That's a pretty good hit rate.
Those guys played a lot of snaps collectively or played a lot of years.
So after Clemens, also in the second round was Tavares Jackson to the Vikings.
Well, he played, but that's not
well.
A great pick.
Yeah.
Right.
In the third round, Charlie Whitehurst to the Chargers.
Yeah, he bounced around a little bit. But
Brody Croyle in the third round to the Chiefs.
Ooh.
Ingle Martin to the Packers in the fifth round. The year after they took.
I mean, went to the wrong team to start the game.
Omar Jacobs in the fifth round to the Steelers.
Funny, though. I didn't realize Green Bay had Favre, drafted Rodgers,
and then
next
took a
year
quarterback.
He was a third round pick on a quarterback. Like, wow.
He was a fifth round pick,
and they still had Favre in the building.
Omar Jacobs in the fifth round of the Steelers, the 2 years after they took
that didn't work out.
Roethlisberger.
Right.
Reggie McNeil to the Bengals in the sixth round.
He's another athlete type.
Bruce Gradkowski in the sixth round to the Buccaneers.
That's a hit.
Yeah,
for a six. He's lasted a long time.
And then DJ Shockley to the Falcons in the seventh round.
Yeah.
That's a bad draft class. No.
I mean, let alone the Rodgers beats him by itself.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, 07. You want to talk about bad quarterback drafts? Jamarcus Russell, number one overall.
That might be the worst pick in NFL history.
It's right there.
I mean, it's a bust.
Number one overall.
Right.
Brady Quinn at 22.
And Calvin Johnson was the second pick.
Yeah.
Brady Quinn. Wow, yeah.
Kevin Cobb in the fourth pick of the second round.
Wow.
John Beck to the Dolphins with the 8th pick of the second round.
He's a good quarterback coach now.
Drew Stanton might be the best guy of this group, and he went in the second round with the 11th pick at 43.
He's not an NFL starter.
Trent Edwards at the third round at 92.
Stanford kid, yeah.
Isaiah Stanbeck in the fourth round at 103.
Phew. Boy, that's a rough year.
Jeff Rowe in the fifth round at pick 151. Jeff
we haven't Rowe. Had a hit yet, have we?
No. Troy Smith in the fifth round at 174.
He wasn't a hit either.
No. Jordan Palmer at pick 205 to the Redskins.
This is the quarterback coach draft.
Yeah. And then Tyler Thigpen in the seventh round at 217.
He won me a fantasy league one year because I picked him up like in week 11 after my guy got hurt, and he ran around and no one knew what the pistol was. And but he wasn't an NFL quarterback.
That's an awful draft.
That's the worst one.
The 2005 draft is five times better than that.
Oh yeah, I mean they have four or five starters. And a huge hit. Wow,
but
that just brings me to this.
You know, when you start looking at this 2021 quarterback draft,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be five, maybe six taken. There's going in the first 2 days of the draft. I think it's safe to say there'll be six or seven quarterbacks taken.
I think so. Yeah.
What are you getting?
I don't know. I mean, one thing we did on the podcast recently was they asked us to take the last four classes. That doesn't include the Mahomes class. And they said, please rank them as best you can with how you remembered them going into the draft.
Yeah.
And I was really low on Josh Allen. You know, I had him like 15th. I was pretty high on Rosen. I had Haskins sort of high. I mean, you know, higher than Josh Allen. But, you know, I had a lot of these guys in this class higher than – I tried to be as honest as I could be. It was a hard exercise to do. But, boy, I mean, the hit rate is rough. And to be honest,
it's not good.
And a lot of these, and we had a lot of first round quarterbacks lately too. You know, that Mayfield class had five, with including Lamar at the end of the first round. We're gonna have five this year. I mean, there's a lot of guys coming into the league.
Well, just look at the 2016 draft.
Okay,
there were three quarterbacks taken in the first round that year. Jared Goff, already been traded. Carson Wentz, already been traded. Those were one and two.
Both those teams traded up. People forget because it happened well before the draft. The Rams and Eagles traded up big to get into those two spots.
Yeah.
Those weren't the original draft spots.
Paxton Lynch went 26th overall that year.
Ooh, yeah.
He's been through three teams. He's not in the league. Christian Hackenberg at 51.
Yeah, that's really rough.
I mean, that's awful.
Awful.
Jacoby Brissett is probably the best. Well, Dak Prescott was in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
But Brissett's...
I mean,
okay.
He was worth a pick, obviously, right.
But he was a second-round pick. Third-round pick, 91st overall. Cody Kessler at 93.
He's played a little, but I don't think he's in the league anymore.
Connor Cook at 100.
Wow.
Dak Prescott at 135.
That's a massive hit.
Yeah. Four picks later, the Bills took Cardale Jones.
Yeah, people were excited about that, and he never did anything.
Kevin Hogan at 162 to the Chiefs.
Hmm.
Nate Sudfeld at 187. In the sixth round to Washington.
Yeah, late round quarterbacks are...
Jake Ruddock.
Who?
To the Lions. Brandon Allen at 201 to the Jaguars.
He's played a little.
But he's on like
not
a seventh...
He's, great,
he's on like a seventh team. Jeff Driscoll to the 49ers at 207. He's bounced around.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Doty.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Goff and Wentz, the book isn't shut. But if we're drafting quarterbacks from scratch...
One and two.
I'm
overall.
Saying, like, right.
And you've already moved on from them.
I mean, Wentz had an exceptional season. Goff's been to the Super Bowl.
They both had. Both of those
basically
teams went
both,
to Super Bowls, but...
Right. Wentz was a big reason they went.
Yeah.
But, man, if we were picking quarterbacks from scratch right now, they wouldn't be early picks.
You know, not at all.
You know what I mean? Like, I would definitely rather roll the dice on all five of these quarterbacks than Goff.
Yeah.
If I'm starting a team right now, and I don't love Mac Jones.
I mean, everybody wants to talk about these day two and day three quarterbacks. To go back to what I think you did a thing on this.
From 15 to 75 is a wasteland.
It's a wasteland.
Lamar Jackson, it's Derek Carr. In like the last 10 years, it's a wasteland. Because,
okay.
I mean, the logic is... If you're good enough to start, you're going to go in the top 10.
Yeah.
Whether you're a top 10 player or not, Daniel Jones goes in the top 10. Was he a great prospect? No. But if someone has a starting grade on him, they're not going to wait till the end of the first round.
They're going to take him.
And plus the team's the end
it's
of the first
same,
round.
It's the Brady argument. You know, if the Patriots had known Tom Brady was going to be Tom Brady, they're not waiting until the sixth round to take him.
Of course not.
It's ridiculous.
Same with Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
I mean, what's funny about the Dak Prescott draft you just mentioned, by all accounts, they wanted Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the guy they absolutely wanted, and I think he went to pick before or whatever, you know, to Denver, or they would never take him Dak.
Let's look at it from 2000. We'll start with 2019. So the 15th pick in the draft that year was Dwayne Haskins.
That's a miss.
Drew Lock went at 42.
Not so good.
Those are your two quarterbacks here. Then after that, you had Will Greer, Ryan Finley, Jared Stidham, Easton Stick, Clayton Thorson, Gardner Minshew at 178. Well, they're already moving on from, you know. You could say he's a hit.
He's a hit.
But,
I mean, I think he might have a Fitzpatrick-like career.
Right. He might be Ryan.
At best.
Yeah.
At best.
If he's lucky.
If he's lucky.
Yeah.
Of those other names, Stidham's the only one I'd even take a shot on.
And then Trace McSorley.
He's not. I don't want to do with him either.
In 2018, we saw four quarterbacks go in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then you saw Lamar Jackson go at 32.
He's the exception to the rule.
Mason Rudolph at 76.
He's outside the 75.
He's just outside your 75, yeah. But then the quarterbacks taken after Mason Rudolph, Kyle LaLetta, Mike White, Luke Falk, Tanner Lee, Danny Eitling, Alex Magot, and Logan Woodside.
What's really interesting to me when
it
you
falls
say
off
those,
quickly.
Those two draft classes, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. Most of those guys you mentioned aren't
league.
Even in the league.
Yeah, they're out of the league.
I mean, the fact that Rudolph's in the league is a leg up over most of those third round and later guys.
He started more games than the guys behind him combined.
I'm sure.
And played more snaps.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's not even close. And he's also started more games and played more snaps than some of the guys ahead of him. Josh Rosen's.
Yeah, Rosen's on his
done.
Fourth team, I think, right?
Yeah.
Right.
2017.
Wow, it's amazing those guys aren't in the league. I mean, those guys are young.
2017, Deshaun Watson was taken at 12.
Yeah,
and then it was
traded up four.
And then you went all the way to 52 before DeSean Kizer was taken.
And that's a bust.
That's
he's
a
in
bust.
That, he's in that dead zone from 15 to 75.
Yeah, and Davis Webb was next at 87.
Which is a bust, too.
Yeah. Then you had C.J. Beathard, Josh Dobbs, Nathan Peterman, Brad Kaya, Chad Kelly.
Man.
A lot of swings and misses there.
A lot of swings and misses.
In 2016.
I mean, Dak Prescott comes around one every 10 years.
Yeah.
Brady comes around once ever.
2016 was Lynch, Hackenberg.
Terrible.
We're in that 15 to 75.
Yeah.
They're not hits.
They're they're total misses.
And then and then after Hackenberg was Jacoby Brissett.
Where was he?
He was at 91.
Okay. I mean, you'll take him. I'll take Jacoby Brissett 91 every year. But he's not a starter.
Not a starter.
He's been on what, three or four teams already now too.
2015, Garrett Grayson went at 75 after.
Ouch.
Winston and Mariota go 1 and 2. The next quarterback taken was Garrett Grayson at 75.
That's a pretty bad class.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup.
No, right.
There were only like six quarterbacks taken that year.
I don't think Grayson's in the league anymore.
It was Sean Mannion, Bryce Petty, Brett Hundley, Trevor Siemian.
That's a terrible class.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Winston and Mariota still could be something, but I'm not sure they're top 32 quarterbacks right now.
Yeah. How about, 2014, Blake Bortles goes 3 overall.
Uh-huh.
Johnny Manziel goes at 22.
Ooh.
Teddy Bridgewater at 32.
Like, Manziel and Bridgewater are the perfect example of one's a high-risk guy, one's just a very low-ceiling guy.
A game
guy.
Manager.
Yeah, right. I mean, the one lasts, the other one didn't. But that's not the answer. Nobody's happy they have Teddy Bridgewater.
Derek Carr goes at 36.
He's the exception to the rule. He's worth it.
Garoppolo goes at 62.
I guess he is, too.
Logan Thomas goes at 120 in that draft. He's now a tight end. Yeah. He might go to the Pro Bowl this year as a tight end.
Yeah.
Tom Savage at 135.
I guess he had an okay career.
Aaron Murray at 163. A.J. McCarron at 164. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
getting
at least
something out of him.
A little bit. They have second contract.
Yeah. Zach Mettenberger at 178. I mean, these guys are bad.
Bad.
2013, you had E.J. Manuel was the top quarterback.
Number one.
Number one at 16. And nobody even thought that was going to happen.
No, right.
That was a surprise. Then Geno Smith.
That fits the 15 to 75 rule.
Yeah, Geno Smith went at 39.
Ugh.
And then Mike Glennon at 73.
That was 0-for-3 in that. That's the poster boy for that conversation.
And then the next quarterback's taken, Matt Barkley at 98. Ryan Nassib at 110. Tyler Wilson at 112. Landry Jones at 115. Brad Sorensen at 221, Zach Dysart at 234, B.J. Daniel 237, Sean Renfrey at 249.
Wow. Just when we thought the Jamarcus Russell or maybe Mariota Winston draft was the worst quarterback class ever, then this one shows up.
That was pretty bad.
That's really, really. I mean, there's nothing came out of it.
Yeah.
Landry Jones has as good a career as anyone.
Maybe better.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Fifth round pick.
2012 was Luck, Griffin, Tannehill in the top eight picks.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Weeden at 22. The Browns love taking those.
They love taking them in that danger zone. Wow.
Take your 28.
That guy was like
your 28-year quarterback, 28-year-old quarterback at 22.
They all get something big wrong with them in that neighborhood.
And then they doubled down. They got Brock Osweiler a couple years later at 57.
They didn't draft him.
They didn't draft him, but the Broncos did at 57. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not a hit. And then Russell Wilson was 75 that year.
Okay.
Imagine, you know, had the Browns, let's say the Browns, instead of taking Brandon Weeden at 22, instead take Russell Wilson at 20, you know.
They may have dominated division since.
Or does he not become what he's become with
that? That's a very good possibility, too.
Because Seattle was the perfect landing spot for him. They had just rebuilt that whole defense in the previous two drafts, and all of a sudden they get the quarterback.
Because for people that forget, this time of year we all thought Flynn was going to be their quarterback. They spent some money on him. He was a Rodgers backup. And so it's a perfect guy to leap over.
Yeah.
Like, he's not that much of an obstacle.
But you look at that quarterback. Okay, you had Luck. You had Robert Griffin, who was good for a couple of years.
And those two go really high in any draft. They were great prospects.
Tannehill was 8.
Yeah.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Then you had Russell Wilson at 75.
That's a good group.
Nick Foles at 88.
That's a hit.
You can say that's a hit.
That's a big time hit. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins at 102.
That's a massive hit.
That's a hit. Yeah.
He's one of the best 15 quarterbacks on the planet.
Ryan Lindley played a lot. He was at pick 185
for
the
really
Cardinals.
Good class.
Yeah.
I contend that Luck's a Hall of Famer if he sticks it out too.
Yeah, if he plays a few more years.
I mean, if he wouldn't have given it up and just had a normal career and stayed reasonably healthy, the balance of power would be a lot different too.
Cam Newton in 2011 was the number one overall pick. Jake Locker went 8th overall.
Yeah, that's that awesome class with AJ Green and Julio. And
then the Vikings surprised everybody.
Ponder.
Blaine Gabbert went 10th.
Ooh. Everybody was a hit except quarterbacks.
Christian Ponder at 12.
Yeah, that shocked people, too.
Andy Dalton at 35 was a much better player.
Yeah, yeah. Kaepernick was, too.
Colin Kaepernick went with the next pick at 36. Ryan Mallett at 74.
To New England?
Yeah.
Yeah. England had a lot of day two quarterbacks during the Brady era.
Yeah. Also in that draft, Tyrod Taylor was a 6th-round draft pick.
Yeah, you'll take that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, T.J. Yates went at 152 to the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
He's still in the league, or at least has played for...
I mean, you hit on a Tyrod Taylor in the 6th round and didn't work out this way, but if he's your 10-year backup and starts a lot of games in between there, that's a fantastic move.
Goes back to my point here. That first of all, that 2005 draft class was not bad.
No, it's one of the better ones we've talked about. The more we talk about it. I mean, some of these are horrible.
And the pick the Steelers used in 2019 or 2018 on Mason Rudolph was not a wasted pick.
No. I mean, in terms of what you have for what you paid, that's not one of the better ones, but it's middle of the road or better.
Yeah.
It's above average.
No,
for what you have from that player.
If the Steelers.
The money you've invested in a backup quarterback.
If the Steelers, let's say they sign Mason Rudolph as their stopgap quarterback or whatever, and 2 years down the line wanted to trade Mason Rudolph, they would get something in return for Mason Rudolph.
Probably. That's a hard conversation to have because
you don't know how many games he played this year.
I mean, does Ben have to miss time?
Let's say he plays the way he has played.
Well, let's say he's a really good preseason, which I kind of expect from him. I'll be a little disappointed if he doesn't have one of the better players on the field, especially against twos, and when he's playing with a good unit, I would expect him to.
As long as they don't let him get crushed every time he drops back to pass.
And I would think like week one he's going to play with all the ones.
Yeah.
Week two, Ben's not going to play a lot in the preseason.
No, I wouldn't expect it.
I would think Rudolph should be one of the better Steelers in the preseason. If that's all you see from him, he's going to have a market on the open market.
Yeah.
Or value if the Steelers sign him to a 2-year deal.
I mean, look around the league at who the twos are around the league. Look around the league, it's who some of the ones are.
Right. I mean, Bridgewater's better than him.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's not markedly better.
I mean, we might change that tune.
You think Washington would like to have Mason Rudolph right now?
Right. I mean, just in the mix and.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Give him all the preseason.
Or if he were in Denver?
Right, exactly.
Could he beat out Drew Locke? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's my point. Like, Bridgewater's better than him, but Is he? You know what I mean?
What do you want out of your quarterback? That's the conversation that you have then next. Okay,
right.
Rudolph is going to throw the football down the field a little bit here. We know Teddy won't.
Teddy won't. You know, I mean, the book's written on him.
Yeah.
I mean, the book's not totally written on Mason. But this whole conversation to me really revolves around next year.
Yeah.
You know, like when you say, well, they'll just get their quarterback. You know, they'll just use first-round pick on a quarterback. Well, if they're picking 24, you know,
it's not good business.
History isn't real kind to you.
I mean, it's not. You got to go all the way back to 2004 to find. You know, everybody likes to bring that one up. Well, or 2005, I should say. Well, Aaron Rodgers fell to the 24th pick. Nobody thought that he should have.
I mean, it's funny we talked about this on my podcast today too, because I was in that war room and. Surprisingly, the Browns didn't think they needed a quarterback at that point. I mean, they drafted Luke McCown the year before.
And they had Garcia.
And they had just signed Garcia.
Yeah.
We had just signed Garcia. And we thought Luke McCown could be somebody. And we still drafted Charlie Fry in the third round.
Right.
You know, thinking we're going to put, you know, put Kellen Winslow next to Edwards. And that's going to be a great spot for Luke to take over. We got two stud receivers, which they looked like at the time. So the logic was sort of sound. But the Browns and... I, myself, had Rodgers over Smith. If we were going to take a quarterback at three, it would have been Rodgers.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, Aaron Rodgers then doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers now.
No,
he
I mean,
he was a late bloomer.
He got a couple years behind Favre to kind of...
I think that was really important.
He didn't have to play early.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen
these
days.
I think he learned... I mean, I don't think they were buddies, but I think he looked at Favre and said... I can be aggressive like him.
Yeah, I can throw the ball down the field like him. Because he was coming from a West Coast kind of college offense, get the ball out quickly.
He was a skinny dude.
Yeah.
You know, like he wasn't the prospect. Nobody saw that coming, you know, what he turned into.
If they would have, they would have taken him in the, you know.
Yeah. And again, we'd
like him. He'd have gone number one overall.
Right. Without question. And it was odd that he fell the way he did. Because there was a couple points. I'm trying to think how that draft went. Because there was a couple points where... You know, if he would have got past, there just wasn't as many quarterback needs that year for some
reason. You had just gotten through the 2004 draft where there were five quarterbacks taken in the...
That's the point.
There were five quarterbacks in the first
round. The Giants are out of the market. The Chargers are out of the market.
You had Manning, Rivers, Roethlisberger. Loesman was a first-round draft pick.
They're not going to
use another. Schaub was a second-round pick.
Right.
Luke McCown was a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Case in point.
Yeah.
I mean, there was teams that liked their young guy.
Yeah.
More than... Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that just wasn't, you know, the year before
they
that,
didn't need him and took
Cincinnati
him
had taken Carson Palmer. The Jaguars had Byron Leftwich. The Ravens had just taken Kyle Bowler in the first round.
Yeah.
Rex Grossman was a first-round draft pick. So there was a large run
I mean,
there.
True every year, you know, like it's people have taken them recently. But I do remember thinking, wow, there's not as many needs at, you know, quarterback-needy teams, and it hurt Rodgers' draft stock. Or, you know, his draft position.
Yeah, there just weren't as many spots for him to land.
And he wasn't an ultra prospect, contrary to popular belief. I mean, he was a much better pro than he was prospect.
And I think what's changed now is you see those quarterbacks. It used to be, again, I'll go back to just a couple of years ago when there were five quarterbacks taken in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That tied a record. That doesn't
happen. No.
Now we're talking about five quarterbacks going in the top 10 this year, potentially.
And that's a very rare thing.
Will there
be five next year? Is this going to be a trend?
We've seen
it. I mean,
last year there were four. There were four last year. There were three in 2019. There were five in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
There were three in 2017. You know, there were three in 2016. There were only two in 2015. You know, we go back to some of those other drafts that we went through.
Troy Polamalu is 40 years old today.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old.
But there were some of those drafts that we went through where there wasn't a quarterback taken. For example, E.J. Manuel in 2013 went 16th overall.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
I mean, that was a bad class.
The top quarterback goes somewhere in the top 10.
Whoever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who next
If not one
is,
overall.
They're going to go in the top five for sure, whoever that guy is, even if it's as bad a prospect as E.J. Manuel.
Because and that team could have just taken another quarterback 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they're ready to, we got to try something new. This guy's played.
Correct
I don't know if that's
wrong,
the great.
I'm
it's
not, even sure I
it's
know
not a
answer.
Great way to develop quarterbacks.
No, but I think what's different, at least in the mindset of the set of these teams, though, is having Daniel Jones isn't great. I mean, he's not a toolsy player. He might turn into an average starter, but still, having him for 5 years is so cost effective.
Right.
That I think like the Wilson years sort of showed people what an advantage it is, especially someone outside the first round, but even an early first round pick is better than giving the Andy Daltons of the world 25.
Right.
You know,
that's just the the cost of doing business at the quarterback position is
extreme if it's a veteran.
So much so, it's so much different than any other position on the field where your quarterback, if he's any good, is making $25+ million a year.
Right. See, I think that's the biggest thing Mac Jones has going for him. Not the three, but if you're, I don't know, Denver or New England or somebody like that, and say, I can get the same play out of this guy as I can out of Cam or whoever
Teddy
I have
Bridgewater.
To pay. Right, Bridgewater. Yeah. Bridgewater was making like $14 million last year, wasn't he? Or even more.
I think it's more than that, yeah.
I mean, I'd rather Mac Jones and give up a first-round pick and use that money on left tackles and receivers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And have average, and still have average quarterback play. You know, I don't think that was as big a deal back then. That we need a cost-effective quarterback.
And also the middle-of-the-road guys are now, you know.
I don't know if there's much of a short as much of a shortage as there used to be either.
Right.
Like, if Dalton, I always bring him up, but there has been a lot of talented young quarterbacks in the league, and a lot of them that can move better. And even back to the Alex Smith conversation, the league is so much better now at adjusting to their quarterback as opposed to making their quarterback adjust to them.
Yeah, you got to learn our system.
This is what the NFL
Right.
I mean, that's a mistake.
Right.
I mean, that's Stone Age thinking.
Yeah, you adjust to what the talent of that you have, not the other way around.
Right, right, right. You know, I mean, I often bring up Vic and Young and Cordell. Those guys would be first pick in the draft this year. I mean, maybe not over Trevor Lawrence, but they'd be in the Fields conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably would have better careers.
Well, there's not a doubt in my
Randall
mind.
Cunningham, you know, even Flutie.
Yeah, you he'd figure out ways to use those guys much better than they did back in the day.
What would Cordell be like coming out right now?
He'd be a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be right there with, you know, you'd be looking at him and going, okay, is it Justin Fields or is it Cordell Stewart?
Right. I mean, would he have went over Lamar in the same draft? Maybe. Would he have gone over Josh Allen in the same draft? Maybe. You know, same conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. But, but that's going to do it for this segment of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. I want to say thanks for my partner, Matt Williamson. We also want to say thank you to Jacob Reck for keeping us here on the air. And we also want to say thank you to you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
You're tuned to The Drive on your 24-7 home of the black and gold, Steelers Nation Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson, and it's time for our mock draft. We're running out of mock draft time.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about this off the air. I mean, we're going to go our normal three shows this week and either one or two next week. We've got to figure that out. So there's not a lot of mocking to be done, but there's also not a lot changing either.
If we're back, and I think we will be back next Wednesday, we might just do a complete full first-round mock draft and then roll from there. And
that'd be fine by me.
Yeah, just go through it all. That would be the entire show.
That'd be pretty much the entire show, yeah.
But we could have a lot of fun with that, since it is the day before the draft. We're drafting here off the Pro Football Focus drafter here, and our pick is up. I got to start it here, but it'll be up quickly.
Okay.
So we're rolling here, and the pick's ahead of us. Ooh, got a shocker here.
Ooh.
Okay, so at 20, Elijah Vera Tucker goes to the Bears.
Very feasible.
Rashawn Slater goes to the Colts.
Wow,
they would love
that.
Jason Owe to the Titans.
I've heard they're very interested and they're a very traits-driven drafting team, so maybe that is a possible landing spot for him.
How about this one? The Jets take Kyle Trask. Who the heck did the Jets take in the They took Zach Wilson and Kyle Trask?
We need to restart this.
I'm restarting. That's ridiculous.
Go to a different site.
Ridiculous.
They get booted.
Ridiculous.
That's no good. That's the Pro Football Focus. You have to take a million quarterbacks to get an A nonsense.
I also put it all on the public board. I'm just going to take it mostly public here.
Okay.
And we'll see if that changes things.
I mean, I could see Kyle Trask maybe going 32 or some quarterback.
Not to a team that just took a – you don't take two quarterbacks in the first round. That's ridiculous.
They have a million needs.
Okay, so
nix that.
Quiddy Pay goes to the Bears. Samuel Cosmi to the Colts.
Okay, both those add up.
Kadarius Toney to the Titans. Najee Harris to the Jets.
Wow, okay. I'm kind of glad that happened. You know, it makes us just
now we're going to make a decision here.
We're going to be a little bit different.
Yeah, okay, so the top guys available. Rashad Bateman, Greg Newsom.
Elijah, I like Newsom a lot.
Elijah Vera Tucker.
I don't think that's the fit.
Elijah Moore, Jason Owe, Walker Little, Jalen Phillips, Asante Samuel Jr., Terrace
some good
Marshall.
Players there.
Tevin Jenkins still available. The running back position, we're right now we're looking at Javonte Williams or Travis Etienne. They now have Javonte Williams rated ahead of Etienne, by the way.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough decision for me. It really is.
We do have three trade back offers.
Okay.
Let's see what we got.
I don't
want
to go far, though, because I want to.
Well, the Jets are have the highest pick remaining here. They're offering us 34. The Dolphins are offering us 36. And then the Rams at 37, or 57, I should say.
You think we can get a back at 34?
Well, we're trading back with one of the teams that just took a back.
See, I was going to say
that takes them off the board. We don't want to go back behind Miami at 35.
I don't want to go behind Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think I can live at 34.
Well, let's see what we can get there then from them. They have 34, 66, 86, 107, 146, 154. So they've got some.
But they got stuff, yeah.
They got stuff. Well, let's see if we can get 34 and 66 first.
They're going to say no, but let's try it.
That's 2 second round picks
for
first. That's the going rate. We might even be able to toss in a next year's.
Fifth or their fourth or something.
Yeah, let's see if we can get a five and a six on that one.
Yeah, I guess 2 seconds isn't that much to ask to get into the first round.
They did not take that. Okay. All right, I'll dump the next year picks out of that then and see if they take that instead. They did not take that.
Okay.
34, 66. 34 and 86 don't. Here's the thing, though. We know that the Jets aren't taking a running back.
No, that's a nice
part. But if we make a trade with the Dolphins, they very well may. Is anybody
else? What else can we get with 86?
I'm going to go 86. If I go 80, 34, 86, then I definitely want a next year pick from them.
Like a three.
Yeah, I want something.
From a bad team.
Yeah.
Throw in this year's seventh, too, so we don't have to pick it on the air. I always like that trick.
That they accepted. So we got 34, 86, and they're in the Jets' third round pick next year.
That's a nice pick to have.
For 24 and 254.
Cool.
Okay, so we're good. We're resuming a draft here.
And we agree that we're taking a running back here. If there's one, if ATN or Williams is there, we're taking one.
Ooh. Okay, so they came up to get Elijah Vera Tucker.
That makes perfect sense, too.
ATN went at 31 to the Chiefs.
The Jets would have had Najee Harris, Vera Tucker, and a quarterback.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a nice haul.
That's a nice haul.
Travis ATN goes to the Chiefs.
That makes no sense at all.
Good.
Edwards-Helaire. I mean, they take weapons, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But okay. I mean,
all right, so we're back up on the clock. Gregory Rousseau was the first pick of the day two.
Okay.
So I
think this has to be Williams.
We just got to take Javonte Williams.
Right. There we go.
So Javonte Williams is the pick.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're up. We got a lot of stuff now.
We got stuff. And we're up again here. The top players available: Elijah Moore, Dylan Raddins, Elijah Molden, Jamin Davis, Ronnie Perkins, Landon Dickerson.
Hmm.
Dyami Brown, Jabril Cox, Jamar Johnson, Richie Grant, Quinn Miners, Liam Eichenberg. So there's a lot here that we really like. We've got 55, 86, 87 upcoming.
Yeah, but those names, there was like five names there I liked a lot. Davis, Molden, Dickerson, Miners.
Do we then look into packaging one of those 86 or 87? We've got 2 third-round picks now next year. Technically, we'll have three for when we get Bud back. We know we're going to have 3 third-round picks next year. We could package one of those later picks, like 2/3, to move up and get one of these other guys.
So let's say we take Jamin Davis.
Okay.
Who I would be very fond of. That would be great. Molden would be interesting. The fact that there's 2 centers makes me more likely to trade up, you know, and I'm cool with that. But how do we do that without them going off the board? And, you know, like how does the software work?
Yeah. I'd have to offer the the trade before I start it back up.
Mm-hmm.
So right now you have the interior guys, Dickerson, Miners, Kendrick Green are all available.
Mm-hmm.
As is,
and I would rank them in that order.
As is
that
Josh man. Myers.
Okay.
So there's some guys here.
Where do we have to go to get them, though? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't think we want to go below. But here, the teams picking after us are Seattle, the Rams, Baltimore, Cleveland. We're not making trades with Baltimore and Cleveland, and then the Saints.
The Saints and the Rams need a lot of stuff and have cap issues.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might be trade partners.
They could be. So we
if
got,
we offer our next pick, what's that, 86?
Yeah.
And our third, not the Jets third, our third. That probably doesn't get us there.
Well, let's see.
Okay.
We want to go with try the Rams first?
Sure.
Let's give them a call before we make this pick.
Yeah.
All right, so they got 57. We want to offer them 86, which is Seattle's, and we want to offer them our third-round pick next year
because
we think the Jets pick is going to be higher.
Right, right, right.
Let's see if they bite on that. They did. They took
they
it.
Did. Okay.
So now we've
got... let's take Jamin Davis.
We've got 55 and 57.
Nice.
So
I think we take a defender, preferably Davis, but Molden, I really like Molden. And then there's going to be a center.
Okay, so you want Davis or Molden?
Davis.
Jamin Davis is the pick. The pick after that was Peyton Turner, so we still have our pick. We have our pick of the interior offensive line. We also have two trade offers.
I was saying, now I consider trading back five spots.
Okay, so
I got three guys I love.
Yeah. The Eagles are on the phone. They've got pick 70. Do we want to go down that far?
What number is this?
This is 57.
Maybe.
They have 70 and 84.
Can we get both those?
For 57?
And a fifth
we would actually, we would actually come out higher on that. Who else is on the phone? Also on the phone is the Rams at 86. No.
We just talked to them a minute ago, didn't we?
Yeah. So let's see if will they bite on 70 and 84 for 57?
Okay. Because
we still got some guys there that we would take.
Yeah, I think there's a chance a center fall. One of the centers will.
One of the centers
there.
Will be there.
Might not be our favorite too, though.
Right. Let's see if they do it. They don't.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. We'll make a. Go ahead and make a pick.
Let's. Try one more, rebut that with throwing in a fifth.
70, 84, fifth next year or this year?
Either.
Well, we don't have a fifth this year.
Or so a sixth or something. Yeah, right.
Oh, they took that.
Okay.
So we gave up 57 in our sixth round pick in 2022
okay.
and for 70 and 84.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to resume
there were still
the
three guys I really liked, Molden and two centers.
Okay,
they
so,
very well could go, but
the Eagles with our pick took Tylan Wallace.
Good, we want receivers.
And Drew Tryon, Dylan Raddins, Elijah Moore, Richie Grant, Amon Ross, St. Brown, Rashad Weaver, Kellen Mond, Eichenberg
great.
Went, Quinn Miners went to the Jets, Jalen Mayfield to the Texans, Patrick Johnson. To the Falcons, Ronnie Perkins goes to the Bengals, and we're back on the clock here. And Landon Dickerson's still on the.
I think you take Dickerson.
We gotta take Dickerson.
Yeah, right, right.
All right, that's a gift. You
that
get him at the
well.
Top of the third round, and we're back up at 84. And Elijah Molden is still there.
Take him.
Boom. Done.
Yeah. Right. Right.
All right. That worked out well.
Very, very well.
And we're back up at 87.
Nice.
Okay, so top guys available: Dyami Brown. Jamar Johnson, Ardarius Washington. We got our slot, though.
Jamar Johnson's interesting. It's just a bonus prize
yeah.
here.
Kelvin Joseph, Kendrick Green still available.
Yeah.
You could take him as a true guard.
You could.
Yeah.
I would prefer a tackle here, though, if we're going
right,
online.
If we're going to do that. Brady Christensen, the top tackle on their board available. Let's see who their guys are.
I'd also consider a tight end.
We don't want to just look at... Okay, so the top tackle is available. Christensen, Stone Forsythe, Robert Hainsey, who's probably not...
Yeah,
Spencer Brown is still there. Deontay Johnson or Deontay Smith is still there. Jalen Moore.
Okay.
So there's some guys there that are developmental guys.
I don't think I'd go Christensen because I don't need him this year.
Yeah.
But who the second Forsythe I would really consider.
The tight end position, Tommy Tremble and Hunter Long are both still available.
I might go that direction.
What else could we use here? We got a corner.
Is there a D tackle I can't believe is available type guy or an edge you can't believe is available?
Milton Williams is there.
Nah.
Tommy Togiai. That's not a.
I like Togiai, but that doesn't. blew me away.
The edge is Cam Sample, Chris Rumpf, Jonathan Cooper, Shaka Toney, Josh Kando. These guys are all rated.
They're all kind of the same for me. I think I'd do a tight end.
Okay. Well, let's see. You like
tight end or tackle?
You like Tremble or Long there? Because we don't pick again until 128. We're not getting one of those two tight ends.
I say we get them now or never.
Yeah. We might get one of those tackles.
There might be somebody.
Yeah.
I don't have a strong preference between Long and Tremble.
I think Tremble fits what you want to do a little bit better as a blocker.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and do that. Okay, we get a little bit of a wait here. Coming down.
We've done well. We made five picks, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking edge. Certainly thinking tackle.
We're back up at 128. We got five trade offers.
Oh, boy.
But let's see who's available first. It's the tackle position. Brady Christensen and Stone Forsythe still available.
Yeah, I think that's hard to pass up.
Which one do you want?
I guess Forsythe, but both of them to me are valuable. Yeah. Forsythe's just longer and bigger.
Yeah. All right, Forsythe is the pick.
Yeah.
I'm really liking this draft.
Yeah, this is great. I've heard a lot of Max Starks comparisons with Forsythe.
Yeah.
I think he's a little more athletic than Starks.
But the size is Florida, similar in Florida.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
We're back up now at 140. The top guys available are still Jamar Johnson, Kelvin Joseph. Kendrick Green is still available.
I think I'd take Johnson.
Tay Gowan, Josh Palmer, Milton Williams still available. Brady Christensen still available. Cade Johnson, Jalen Darden. Benjamin St. Juste.
Some interesting guys.
Khalil Herbert, Odighizuwa, Trey Brown, Robert Hainsey.
We took a slot already, though.
Yeah. Monty Rice. There's
we some guys Jason here. Davis, though. You know, we just re-signed Vince.
I know. I'm just saying. This could be.
I think I'd take Johnson.
At this point, though, we filled the needs.
We have, right.
Except for edge.
It'd be nice to have a third edge.
Yeah.
But I think Johnson's your third safety and would get on the field fair amount. Edmonds isn't going to get long-term
You could also completely rebuild that offensive line this year if you take Green there. You're not for this year, but they're gonna be your backups. You know who you now know who your eight or nine are going to be on game days.
You do, with a lot of upside.
With
there.
A lot of upside that you could be real happy about this
Dickerson's
in 2022.
Not the most durable fellow. Let's go with Green.
And take Green?
Johnson would be my other pick.
It's a great value.
Right.
I mean, holy man.
You talk about addressing the other line.
It's much better now than what it was.
Boy, it's nice to have the linemen under first-year contracts.
Yeah.
Their first contracts.
Your line just got really young.
Yeah. When you mix that with Dotson and, you know, all of a sudden you got four guys that are here for a while.
If your starting line in 2022 is Dotson, Dickerson, and Green on the interior – you're really physical on the interior.
Yeah. And you're not paying the cast.
And you're not paying him. Yeah, you're not paying him a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're back up now.
Forsythe's no little fella either.
No, that's, we're up at 216 here. And, oh, my goodness. Ooh, this is a value pick. At 216, Derek Barnes is still available.
If you told me right now you could swap 216 out for Barnes, I would. But recent developments with Jamin Davis and Vince Williams, I'd rather take an edge. I mean, I like his versatility to play some edge, but I'd rather just take an edge.
Right. Well, let's see who's available at the edge position. Man, that's great value.
It is. I mean, I like the player at that spot a lot.
Okay, so the top guys available, Ernest Brown out of Northwestern. Don't love him. Patrick Jones out of Pitt.
That's not a bad value either.
Teron Jackson's of Coastal Carolina. Raymond Johnson of Georgia Southern. William Bradley King out of Baylor. Malik Herring out of Georgia. Jamar Watson out of Kentucky. Carlo Kemp.
They're pretty pick through.
Yeah.
I think I'm calling a vet.
I'm looking at Derek Barnes there and saying, okay,
he's about a safety, though?
Barnes would play for you on game days. He'd be active.
Probably. Spillane might not be on the roster.
He could be, you know, hey, give us five edge snaps a game. He's done it.
Maybe. I don't know. I might rather invest in a six-foot corner or a third safety.
Let's see what's safeties.
Or a nose tackle.
Safety's pretty picked over, too. Jamian Sherwood, Ashari Crosswell, Derek Forrest, Marcus Murphy, Tariq Thompson.
That got hit hard.
Tyler Cole, yeah. Cornerbacks, you're looking at
Any tall, trade, you know, guys with trades. And we already took a slot corner.
Right. You're looking at Mark Gilbert out of Duke, Antonio Phillips out of Ball State, Shamar Jean-Charles out of App State, but he's more of a slot type.
Yeah, he's
type.
More of a slot.
Nashawn Wright out of Oregon State, Darren Hall out of San Diego State, Chris Wilcox out of BYU. I mean, there's just not much there.
Nah. I'd consider a nose, too.
Let's look at that. This is the spot we always get to. Like, those first five rounds.
We're happy as could
yeah.
be.
Yeah. Right, oh, right, right. You're like right, this guy. Right, right. And then you get to this point, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
Karis Tonga out of BYU.
I wouldn't have any problem with that.
O'Brien Goodson is 5'10".
Nah, I can't
out of Memphis,
do that way.
Yeah.
You need to be big and physical.
Mark, he's just,
you're not beating the Browns with 5'10 nose tackle.
Yeah. Quentin Bohanna out of Kentucky. Austin Fayalu out of Oregon. Taquan Graham out of Texas. Mustafa Johnson out of Colorado.
I mean, I think Tonga's interesting.
Tonga's probably the biggest, the best one there. 6'4", 321.
Yeah.
Does have some sack production. He's
not a total stiff.
He had seven in his career. And
last thing to look at, how about a wideout?
We can look at that.
And yeah, I mean, there's always value in this part of the draft. And he may not play a snap for us this year, but I don't
think he might be a kick returner.
Right. I don't know if Juju's back a year from now.
Jonathan Adams out of Arkansas State. Frank Darby out of Arizona State. DeMonte Coxey out of Memphis. Jamon Osbon out of Texas A&M. Osiris Mitchell, Mississippi State. Jalen Camp, who tested really well out of Georgia Tech, didn't have much production.
Yeah, as usual for that team.
Josh Imara out of Illinois, who tested well as
well. Yeah, I say he tested really well.
Marlon Williams, UCF. Warren Jackson, Colorado State. He's that big, like six.
He's almost an Engram type, maybe.
He's big.
Yeah, he is big.
He didn't run 6'6", 219, but ran in the 4.5s.
He might be Darren Waller if he hits, obviously. I think I'd take Tonga.
Okay. I can't argue against that
one. I mean, he's a decent player. He might even be active on game day. I mean, he's the nosiest guy on the team.
You're
all
adding,
of a sudden.
You know, extra bodies in that mm-hmm. room. Okay.
We don't have a sixth or seventh round pick, right?
We got 245 coming up. That's our last pick.
Okay.
And the guys, top guys available: Aaron Banks out of Notre Dame, Brendan James, tackle out of Nebraska, Drew Dahlman, the center out of Stanford.
That dude from Nebraska, his name's not James, by the way. I've made that. It's Jameis.
Jameis. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still pronouncing it wrong. I think it's like, I think the J is say like an H or whatever. Everyone in the world said it wrong, but he's. We've taken three offensive linemen. I don't think he's for us.
And Deontay Smith is still available as well.
I mean, it'd be great.
If we have known that before,
right.
We don't.
Both those guys would be great picks in the 200s.
Ramondre Stevenson's still available.
I always wonder if there's a scat back type.
Puka Williams is there, but.
He doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me. Michael Manet still available. I mean, we could.
There's linemen.
There's some
we
guys, yeah.
Taken, but we take
Patrick Jones still available. At this point, do you just take him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the value.
We didn't take an edge
because we didn't like that.
No, I think you take Jones.
But yeah, you just take him.
Yeah.
The production was there.
No, he's okay. I'd be fine with that.
All right. So, we get a B on our trade with the Jets,
where
we got 34-86 in the 2022 third-round pick. We gave up 24 and 254. We got an A- from Pro Football Focus
for taking
Javonte Williams.
Wow.
At 34 was an A-.
What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah. Jamin Davis was only a C+.
Wow.
How about that? Our trade with the Rams, where we got 86, we got 57, we gave up 86 in our 2022 third-round draft pick, only got a C. They didn't like that trade.
Doesn't like the future.
Our trade with them with the Eagles, which that first trade allowed us to make this one, where we gave up 57 in our 2022 sixth-round draft pick, they get 70 and 84.
And
got a B-.
Trades combined, we got more than we
received. We moved up, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Landon Dickerson at 70 only got us a C+. I am sorry.
Sorry.
That's not a C+ pick.
No, it all comes down to
medical.
It's
70.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Top of the third round, you get Landon Dickerson?
I think he's the best interior guy in the class.
Elijah Molden got us a B- at 84.
That'd be a great pick at 84.
Tommy Tremble at 87 got us an A-.
Hmm.
How about that?
I mean, one of the top four tight ends.
Stone Forsythe at 128 got us an A-. complete value that. Pick.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, Kendrick Green at 140 got us an A-.
Just couldn't pass him up.
Complete value pick. Tonga got us a C+. Patrick Jones got us a C+. Those are at 216 and 245. Overall, we got a B+.
That's just the best grade we've ever gotten for Pro Football Focus. And we didn't draft the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, again, Javonte Williams, Jamin Davis. Again, if you told me right now that the Steelers' top two picks, I don't care what order they're in, are Javonte Williams and Jamin Davis.
You take it.
I'm okay. And then you get Landon Dickerson. Your top three picks are Javonte Williams, Jamin Davis, Landon Dickerson.
Take it.
If you're on board with that.
You could almost put them in any order, and I'd believe it.
Yeah. And then you get Elijah Molden.
Right.
As well. Then you get Tommy Tremble.
Yeah. And a tackle.
Then you get Stone Forsythe. That's a home run of a draft.
Check a lot of boxes there. Yeah.
The problem with some, like, you make those trades, and we can do this sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
But we made that trade where we trade,
before we made our pick.
A 2022 third-round draft pick to move to 57. Okay, now you better get your guy, but then we get that second offer. We don't know that second offer is going to come.
No, of course, of course.
So we probably would take Landon Dickerson at 70, or we would have taken Miners.
I think so.
And then we don't get that second pick we don't get Molden.
And oh, by the way, we turned our third-round pick into the Jets' third-round pick next year.
Right. We got,
which is nice.
We got picks next year.
I mean, we just swapped out. I mean, our three went to somewhere else, and we took the Jets. So
we get the Jets three.
Move up.
You would hope that our pick's going to be 15 picks below. at the very least,
yeah,
15 picks below what the Jets was.
It's a bad year if you're picking ahead of the Jets.
Yeah.
No, but that's a tremendous draft. Again, I have mixed feelings about all the moving around. I mean, it's somewhat realistic, but somewhat not. You know, but, man, I mean, it's not like teams don't trade on draft day. You know, I mean, how many times the Patriots trade down a couple times over the course of a draft and leave with 10 guys, you know? And they like them. And they have made the picks. They even made the picks count as well as you'd like if you're a Patriot fan. But,
and just to show you how unrealistic, I get sent – people tweet us their drafts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. And I enjoy looking
at
them.
I love the enthusiasm. And, right.
Love it. But the way this simulator went, just to show you how wrong this is going to be, Lawrence 1, Wilson 2. Okay. Jamar Chase 3 to 49ers. Not happening.
It's not going
to
happen.
Devontae Smith then goes at 4 to the Falcons.
That ain't happening.
Not happening.
Right. I mean, those guys are all going to go in the top 12.
Yeah, they're going to be.
Right.
Penei Sewell at 5, Justin Fields at 6, Patrick Surtain at 7, Trey Lance at 8, Mac Jones at 9.
And those top 9, they would be the order, I would guess, but they're not craziness that they would be the 9 guys off the board.
10 was Christian Darrisaw, Jalen Waddell at 11.
You didn't say Kyle Pitts' name, though.
I have not. Christian Barmore at 12.
Hmm.
Micah Parsons at 13.
You'd love to see Barmore go before 24.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
J.C. Horn at 14. Rashawn Slater at 15 to the Patriots. They'd love that.
They'd love that.
Caleb Farley at 16. Jeremiah Owosu-Koramoa at 17. Kyle Pitts finally goes at 18 to the Dolphins.
That's the one I have the big problem with. Like, come on. He might go 4.
Yeah, Trevon Moehrig to the Washington at 19. Again, if you're a Steelers fan, you love that.
That's what I was going to say. Who's a couple names you really would love to see and go in the top 24. I think Mo Ring's high on the list.
Barmore
for sure.
Yeah. Complete positions.
Shots,
they're not needs at all.
Right, right, right.
Any of those edge guys. So, right. Quiddy Pay goes at 20. Fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cosme at 21 goes to the Colts. Kadarius Toney at 22. You want the receivers?
You want the receivers to go.
To go.
You know three are going to be gone. It'd be nice if a fourth is gone.
Yeah.
At 24.
Then Najee Harris goes at 23. Elijah Vera Tucker at 24.
Mm-hmm. You want to go too, and he will. I mean, some of them you just know are going to go, but there's probably 15 names that you're hoping for.
Aziz Ojulari goes at 25 to Jacksonville. Cleveland takes Rashad Bateman.
Hmm.
The Ravens take Jason Owa.
I can see him being a birdie.
The Saints take Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
Alex Leatherwood goes to the Packers.
Yeah, I can see him being a chief or a Packer at the end of the first round.
Greg Newsom goes to the Bills.
That'd be a nice pick for the Bills.
ATN goes to the Chiefs, and then Zaven Collins finishes off the first round going to Tampa Bay.
I think he's going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Probably earlier.
But even if that, you look at that top of that second round, Russo, Javonte Williams, Carlos Basham, Terrace Marshall, Nick Bolton, Joseph Asai, Asante Samuel, Wyatt Davis, Davion Nixon. Tevin Jenkins goes all the way down to 42.
I don't know how the Chiefs would take ETN over.
Creed Humphrey goes at 45. Pat Freiermuth goes at 47. Walker Little at 48. Jackson Carmen, 49.
Creed Humphrey would make a team really happy at 45.
Yeah. The Colts took Kyle Trask at 54.
I guess I could buy that, especially if you end up with extra picks.
Yeah.
Those guys might go a little higher.
But they just did take a quarterback last year. Yeah, took Eason last year.
Another pocket passer.
Tampa Bay took Kellen Mond at 64.
I think 64 could definitely be a quarterback.
Yeah.
32 could be a quarterback.
Leon Eichenberg falls to the third round. Quinn Miners falls to the third round. Jalen Mayfield falls to the third round. My man Patrick Johnson goes at 68.
Yeah, when that happened, I almost said, wow, yeah, he's gaining some steam.
But, yeah, there's some picks there. That guys that were being talked about early in the process are now falling a little farther down the boards. Guys who we weren't talking about a month and a half ago are going higher.
There's a couple names, and again, this is the season not to believe, but I've heard some people say Milton Williams could be a top 40 pick.
He could be.
You know, you can see that in a terrible defense tackle draft. There's traits there. Coaches look at him and say, I'll take that.
I can coach that up,
yeah. Maybe Geno Atkins.
When we talked to Greg Cosell a few weeks ago, he said, look, there's a feeling among NFL teams that he wasn't used correctly. He's taking on two blockers in that defense.
Right.
Like, he's your best guy.
Let him attack. Yeah, right.
You wouldn't try to free him up. Not hey, you take on these double teams, and we'll let somebody else go make plays.
Could he be the Bengals' second-round pick or something? I mean,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but there's potential there for that. So, always interesting. Always love to do them, and we're running out of mock drafts. But we do appreciate we always love to do them, and we'll do another one Wednesday. We got another one then on Friday, Monday, and then we'll do our big draft. So we have four mock drafts left. And we got one with LouForStealers.com too. But
yeah, that one will be in print. We'll probably talk about that a little bit too.
We will do that. Nice. But that's going to do it for this show. So for my partner, Matt Williamson, for Jacob Recht here on site keeping us on the air, I'm Dale Lally. We want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.